menorah. Happy first night of Hanukkah. He provided. Out of darkness, a miracle happened. And the miracle is, today, we're all still standing here in Miami Beach. Welcome back to Nota Bene. Nate Freeman and I are joined by advisor, friend,
and goy.
Recontor and right. Goy. Yeah. James Cardoso, Michael Schaefer. We're just holding it together with chewing gum and Band-Aids over here. We're going to try and get through this. What a week it has been. How you holding up, Nate?
Fantastic. I'm ready to go home. Unfortunately, I'm not doing that till tomorrow. But you know what? I'm doing okay.
Also, ready to go home, but doing okay. But yeah. I feel like I've done the things. Like, one more night of dinners is going to be a lot. Especially as I'm, you know, missing my son's 9th birthday. But he's in bed sick with the flu.
God,
so
right. Fuck.
He's really sick. He's really in bed. It's fine. I mean, I feel terrible, but it's fine.
That's a pretty good tradition I'm sure he'll have as he gets older, being sick on your birthday.
Cats in the cradle and the silver spoon.
So what have we done this week, guys? Let's get to it.
We had an art fair.
There was
well, listen, we
there was the big show.
The listeners last joined us on the cusp of the festivities on Monday evening. Nate and I were rushing off to Joe's Stone Crab, where we hosted an extraordinary dinner with our friend, advisor Eleanor Carey, her husband Bobby, Joe Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was at the dinner?
Fernando from Gaga.
Locke
Kressler.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was a great table.
That's a really fascinating crew that I can't imagine having dinner with each other, but I can imagine having dinner with each other.
It was nice. Not everyone had met each other beforehand, which was cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
We did some introductions.
Yeah, you know, it was good. It was like people meeting people. It was super fun. We figured out, I think, the correct order.
I think so. I don't think that we were lacking anything. The fried chicken, you don't need to get.
How many claws did you get? What number?
Oh, a lot.
We got selects. Mills Moran, friend of the pod, will have some issues with me for this. I think selects are the right call.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most bang for the least, for the correct amount of bucks.
Right.
We had a lot. There were some people at the table not eating shellfish.
Mm.
But for those that were, we had five or six claws per person.
Okay. Totally.
Yeah. I had more than my fair share.
I definitely did too. It was fantastic.
Yeah, all of it. The hash browns, sublime.
The weird salad hit.
It always hits. The coleslaw.
The weird salad hit.
The coleslaw is also a sleeper hit.
You know what's a good hit there? Off the menu, you can order an affogato at Joe's. It's my tradition. Every year when I go there, I get one.
Because does it confuse them each and every time?
Every time they come and they give me a big, giant bowl of ice cream, a lot of scoops, and a hot cup of filtered coffee.
Because they don't have espresso there, Bobby.
And the waiter, someone in the back room always says, make sure you pour it onto the ice cream in front of him. That's what the fancy restaurants do. And so they always do it. And it just melts the ice cream immediately. So suddenly I just have this bowl of like lukewarm coffee ice cream
soup. That
sounds
terrible.
It is
awful.
The last thing that you should ever, ever, ever have. But out of my terrible Catholic guilt, I suck that shit up.
Why don't you eat the key lime pie like a normal person?
Because I'm not a normal man.
Controversial take, the key lime pie is exceptional, probably some of the best key lime pie in the country. It does not need the overly sweetened whipped cream on top.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be Joe's if it didn't have it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, greatest restaurant in America. Well, top five anyway. We'll move on. It's true.
They're going to put that on their menus. Greatest restaurant in America top five. Quote Benjamin Gotzel. You should make stickers.
That's like at the Waverly, and they have the quote, worst food in New York City, Donald Trump.
All right, then we reconvened, and that's where we bumped into our friend James here. Nate and I and the aforementioned Eleanor Carey hosted a little soiree with just about everyone in the art world that matters. A few people that were missing, but most everyone was there at the lobby of the beautiful Edition Hotel. We were so happy to be hosted by them once again for the first time in South Beach, and it was a banger, man.
Everyone showed up.
Everybody.
Everyone was there.
It was like, you know, when you watch a reunion TV show that's been off the air for like 20 years.
Yep.
And they have like all the best characters come. You know, it was like
and
that.
You're like, oh, that guy.
That guy.
See, you're still around.
Yeah, exactly. It was wonderful.
You know who wasn't there, unfortunately? I'm pretty sure he was invited, was Adrian Turner, recently returned from being a scuba diver in the Philippines back to the art world, back into the saddle at the Marian Boski Gallery. That's just an aside. It has nothing to do with the party. The party was great.
The party was great. It went on for hours. It sort of even sort of spilled over to the other bar, which was fun.
There were capacity issues. People on the list. I've never had this. I don't like throwing parties, by the way. Like, you know, texting me and calling me, hey, I'm at the door. Can you get me in?
Yeah, the anxiety of that is not worth it.
No, sure. Including someone who sometimes is a client of mine.
Yeah, a lot of former guests of the pod were there.
You know, we also had an A-list star from the world of basketball.
About
The guy who sits courtside every game.
Oh, that motherfucker.
James Goldstein.
James Goldstein.
He was there. That ruled.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Are the Heat playing in town right now? Or like, why was he here?
He only goes to Laker games.
That's what I'm saying. The Lakers would be playing and he would get courtside.
Right, because he travels with
and
the
no
Lakers.
One oh, does he travel with the team?
From. Yeah.
No one knows where his money comes from.
Right.
No one.
I talked to him. I went to his house last year. We're buds.
Well, everyone's been to his house, but still no one knows what he does.
I couldn't understand anything he was saying.
He's very, very old. I was worried that he was a fall risk, like the hospital if they have the fall risk bracelet. Like, he seems real.
But he's like the coolest guy in the world. Like the coolest guy. He's also like a big fashion guy. He's always like front row at all the major shows.
Was he at Balenciaga?
Yeah, usually. I mean, he's just like the fucking shit. He's the coolest thing.
Anyway, whatever. Guy. We threw a party like and he showed up.
He looks
That's
like
cool.
Crocodile Dundee with cocaine addiction.
not true. Not true.
Yeah, so he was there. That was cool. It was great.
It was great. I linked up with past guest Adam Lindemann for a long time, talking about his interest in the bluegrass music. It was a good time.
Yeah, Lindemann banjos a lot on the Instagram.
Yeah, everyone should check that out. It's wouldn't expect it, really. He's kind of good.
He's really good. Yeah, him and Steve Martin should.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did Adam get into the
they
banjo?
They should start an art world banjo band.
He's a man of many eccentric talents and interests. You guys then migrated to the bar in the hotel and stayed there for hours. I went home.
I didn't stay out too late. It's a long week, you know.
But together, James. I swear to God, if I have to spend time editing this, I know where you live.
Our world banjo band. It's like a 30 Rock joke. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Banjo. Anyway, so that was Monday night. I spent all of Tuesday rolling on with clients. I think I did all the things. I saw, close your ears for a second, James, underwhelming collaboration show between Larry Gagosian and Jeffrey Deitch.
Why was it underwhelming?
It was smaller than usual. There wasn't that much like hot stuff. It just wasn't the kind of spectacle that we
made. Albert Ullin when you walked in.
That those guys, there was, no, that Albert Ullin's been on the market for so long, bro.
I thought it was a good one.
There was a really beautiful Carol Bove. Gorgeous.
Was a beautiful Carol Bove.
There was a beautiful Josh Klein.
Yeah, there was
an adjective that is never usually used for his artwork.
No, it was great. There's also a great. Those great things. It didn't really feel cohesive. There was a new artist to me that people were going nuts over. This Devin B. Johnson.
Who?
Devin B. Johnson.
Explain.
Devin B. Johnson.
Okay.
But they were really good paintings. This.
Oh, yeah, that shit's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. It's really, really good. It sold instantly. They were able to get access to another one that also sold very quickly.
I got to tell Deitch how I first met him.
That's right. I introduced you to Jeffrey Deitch, and then you explained how you first met him, and he seemed pretty flabbergasted.
Yeah, so
how'd
like,
you first meet him?
So he came up when Nate introduced
me. Is it a Baragon story?
Is it what? No. But Nate came up to me and he goes like, hi, I'm Jeffrey Deitch. And I said, you know, we've met before and you said that exact same thing. I was a security guard at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts in Richmond in the early aughts, not early aughts, the early tens. And there was an event for the space and you were sitting alone eating like a croissant. And I came up to you and I said, hi, you go, hi, my name's Jeffrey Deitch. And I said, I'm an art student. I have a project space. I would love for you to come to my project space. And you encouraged me to be a gallery, to open a gallery.
And did he go to the project space?
He said, give me your email. And he never came.
Okay. Well, listen.
But he was really touched to hear that.
Yeah. It was really nice.
He's a genuinely very nice individual in all of my experiences with him. I just didn't think the show was so banging. I also went to the Rubel Museum, which was spectacular, as always. A real LA focus. They switched up a lot of things from last year.
Didn't they move around the architecture or something like that?
No. I didn't see a move in the architecture. Like, they took apart the Pictures Generation room.
Right.
And female figuration, I guess.
They also took apart the room that was kind of a scale replica of International Wood Monument, the gallery in the East Village.
Right.
where that sold Meyer Weissman was the founder of the gallery, and he sold Jeff Koons out of there. That room was all switched apart. There was no Charlie Ray, the great Charlie Ray. Charlie.
That's the best show.
Oh, that's what I forgot. I knew there's something I was missing.
There was Glenn Ligon in there instead.
They kept the Katie Nolan room.
Yeah, they can't do anything with that. It's just
too much work.
It's just too good. You know, it's the best.
As I was on my way out, and I had like a posse of several groups of clients with me. Like it was like me and five ladies rolling around all day. Emmanuel Paratone was having some trouble getting into the Rubel collection.
How so?
He didn't have his badge yet. I was like, I'll have to pay. And so I interceded on his behalf and said, guys, I know this guy. You can use my VIP
That's great.
Pass. You should let him in.
That's there
you
great. Go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I felt like, and as I said to him, he's like, oh, thank you so
can
much.
Can you leverage that to get access to something?
I'm good. Although they had some Emma Websters that everyone else was
yeah, people
was,
are going
you
bananas.
You were helping out your fellow.
No, but as I said to him,
because
he came
world,
up to me afterwards,
nice.
Like, hey, that was so nice, man. Thank you.
Hey, nothing's free, man.
And I was like, you know what,
except
dude?
For free, man.
That's the great part about this art community. We're just all helping each other.
All help each other. That's all.
And I thought
do.
It was nice that he wasn't pulling any, hey, do you know who I am? He wasn't like, I'm an exhibitor. He's like, oh, I don't
yeah,
have
yeah,
my
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
It was like he was doing it the correct way.
I mean, because let alone when we were in Paris, his face was like on every single news truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was on the cover of like some French magazine.
I mean, he's fucking famous in France.
He's famous in France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, real famous.
Low bar. I mean, they like writers over there, too.
Yeah. I mean, like, kids know who Rimbaud is in France, you know?
Anyway, so that was during the daytime. I saw, but what other pop-ups were there that you guys saw off-site?
Yeah, went to the ICA, met some cats there. That was better than anything else
like
I saw.
Like felines?
Yes.
yeah, there, like literal cats.
There are multiple cats living.
And the cat's name, one of the cats' name, is Kittenburger.
Yeah. Huh. Cute overload.
And the other one was Oreo. I was into Oreo.
Like in the museum?
No, they're not allowed inside. But
okay.
They do have a hurricane plan for them.
Jesus.
I'm not kidding.
DEI and hurricanes.
Yeah,
I did not. I only because I was pressed for time, I didn't make it to the ICA. Everything took longer.
Yeah.
Like to see everything took longer. It wasn't even a traffic situation. It was just like everything took longer.
Right.
Didn't eat all day. Hit up a Pura Vida, like that brand, into it. Mm. And then made my way back to back over here before all the big events. What was Tuesday night? I don't even remember.
Oh,
it's all
God.
A haze.
We were at a
Gagosian.
A party that Gagosian threw.
Oh, first I went to that, but first I took all this aforementioned clients. I had to go back to Joe's for a second round.
Oh, right.
Yeah, 2 days of Joe's in a row. That's perfect. I was annoyed I couldn't go last night.
Man.
And then, the Gagosian party, which was ably hosted by La Serenus. It was
very
awesome.
Very chic. Very, very chill. It was like... chill vibe.
It was solid,
elegant
man.
Vibes.
That was a solid vibe. Yeah.
It was. I have to say, I thought it was a good part. It was the perfect like night before the fair party,
totally.
And then it wasn't too crazy. It was like fairly sophisticated. I think they actually went late in Franco's bar. They had like that upstairs area set, but they really
they
took the Broken Shaker, whatever that cursed hotel is called, and like cleared out all the junk that's usually back there. It's usually like hammocks and it's like some tropical 80s
I think
thing.
Like. You know, beach games that like losers in their late 20s
yeah, it's like
play.
The beanbaggy toss thing and things like that. Clear all that out, made into a very sophisticated Italian vibe, like perfect furniture, lights, great. I really enjoyed the DJ. Like,
I really had a good time.
Yeah,
really nice. I stopped by White Cube afterwards.
Oh,
I did very, very briefly.
What is it? 2012 up in here?
You know what? Like, you know, Casper Jobbing, dear friend of mine, wanted to go show some respect. I linked with him and our friend, Charlie Stewart, CEO of Sotheby's, on the beach. It was nice.
Yeah. Well, what was the scene there? Was it the madhouse that I remember it being?
Yes.
Like, was it just people going nuts?
Outside was fucking apeshit. It was crazy outside to get in. It was nuts. It was
really?
Like a long line for people even on the list. And then there were a bunch of people not on the list trying to get in.
Right.
You know, Soho Beach House is just like, it's cray cray.
Oh, yeah. That's shit.
Did someone, you know, as you're a prominent member of the press, did someone from the gallery's PR team come out and fetch you?
Oh, yes. They came all the way from the beach to get me. It was really nice.
Really?
Love to hear it.
That's great.
So you were on the other side that we were texting people, or people were texting us the night before, hey, I'm having trouble getting in. You were on the opposite side of that trade, so to speak?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, like, you know, it's just like, I don't have that much time. I need to go in. I need to go home early. You know, I need to get up early.
Yeah, no, it was a big day. The next day, I got home relatively early and stayed up playing on my phone like a total idiot, kind of freaking out about the next day. Chose not. I realized that I can't do a workout the morning before an art fair. It's just not great for my body.
I went to two breakfasts before the fair.
I worked up before the fair.
Well, I did a Barry's the day before, but yesterday that was a rest day.
You have days on, days off.
Yeah.
The gym in my hotel is just like non-existent. It's tiny. I just couldn't do it.
You could go for a very nice long walk on the beach. What I did do before the fair is I texted my friend Martin Klosterfelde, and we met up with Friedrich Petzl and some other folks down at the beach. Even though it was a breezy 60 degrees in the air, we jumped in the very warm ocean, swam around for 5 or 10 minutes, and jumped out. I didn't have a towel. I was freezing all my parts off.
Oh, my God.
But it woke me right up.
Pneumonia.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why I feel like junk now. But it woke me right up. It was incredible. It was incredible. It was a great way to start the day before our fair. Yeah, yeah. And then it was game on yesterday. I was rolling around with clients. James, you were rolling around with clients. Nate, I don't know what you were doing there.
I'm reporting.
What do you do there?
You're walking around hitting the beat?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, y'all know how it works at this point. You know, I'm just going around trying to just spot fun people, talk to people about not just sales, but vibes and, you know, see the kind of stuff that people are bringing, maybe spot like some new artists on view at galleries that haven't quite announced representation stuff.
That's interesting. I don't want to step on your column, which is forthcoming, so I know you probably have some great nuggets that we'll hold for exclusives there. Maybe other people that have already been shown on the Instagram or on other sources, any celebrities that you noted walking around the aisles of the fair from the worlds of tech, finance,
or architecture?
This is going to the column, but it's like he was there. It was Sir David Ajay was at the fair, which is quite controversial.
Oh, because he had a little bit of it. Is it Me Too?
It's a big Me Too.
It's a big Me Too?
It's okay. A big whopping fucking Me Too.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised to see him very visibly there at the opening hour of the fair. I don't know if he's made many public appearances recently.
I'm pretty sure I saw Cindy Crawford there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Tommy Hilfiger was there. Sorry.
Yep,
him.
definitely.
Oh, wow.
That was Hilfiger. Very cool.
Shakira.
Yep. Yeah.
I didn't see any, you know, I was kind of like, my eyes are down. I'm in my own little bubble the first day of a fair. I didn't notice any of the bigger names, like collector names. Did you, either of you guys see any of the big dogs out to play?
I didn't see any big dogs.
Including some recent, what?
You saw the biggest dog today, though.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
The biggest dog.
Yeah.
So Howard Rachofsky was there.
Yep.
Okay. That was nice to see. Obviously, Donna Mira Rebell were there.
Right.
Norman Braman was there.
Marty Eisenberg was walking around.
Marty Eisenberg was there.
Marty Eisenberg was at our party.
He was, yeah.
He was at your party.
Yeah. I had to sort of twist Marty's arm to come. I don't think that it's really his crowd. Or, you know, he was like, it's Jack's party. Jack's going, you know, but like.
That's why I had the kid.
Yeah, but he came. I really did twist his arm. I'm really glad that he did.
Because we saw him at Joe's. And we didn't bring him with us, but we kind of brought him with us.
We kind of did. Well, we brought Jack with us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So yeah. I think
that was a fun car ride, actually.
Yeah, really fun.
Richard Chang
was there. We saw him yesterday at the W as well. Who else? I mean,
can you get a little closer to that microphone, James? Sorry,
Beth DeWitty was there.
But none of the formerly of Chicago, now in Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. Ken Griffin.
Cohen didn't see.
Nope. A.B. Rosen was at the art and artist gala at the Met the night before in New York City, not in Miami.
Strange time to do that gala.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous time to do that gala.
I know.
Interesting, but evidently things were transacting mostly from what I heard. And again, I was so like kind of at a microscope, the things I was interested, the people I was talking to, I didn't have time to do any reportage from around the fair yesterday. But I did know a friend, you know, sold a high seven figure item off a booth of a American master abstractionist.
Well, Hauser had a really, really solid Philip Guston painting.
That was one of the best paintings in the fair.
That was a great painting.
And they sold it for $20 million.
It was 20 in the end.
Yeah.
They asked for 20.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, okay.
I mean that's something.
Yeah, that's
you
something.
Know that's yeah. Not nothing.
Yeah, no, there were real things training, but I'm wondering how much other from what I heard after the fact, it was a little bit of a slow go for the higher priced items.
Gagosian had that really great Jeff Koons cracked egg, which has not been on the market ever. I think it's been in the same collection forever at I think a pretty good price, 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's sold.
Tough time to sell a Jeff Koons like that, I feel
I know,
like.
But this is it was a really good
one.
This
is a good one. It was a good one. Yeah.
The booth looks good. All the big galleries booths look good.
Mm.
Any other stands out? I really liked, obviously, we kind of speak, I feel like, about our friends too much, but Alexander Schumann's booth of Kai Christiansen Knowles knocked my fucking socks off.
It was great.
Likewise, Ellie Ryan's booth knocked my socks off. Chateau Chateau's booth knocked my socks off. Anton Kern's booth.
That was a good booth.
Knocked my socks really great. Off.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Cedric Chisholm and Matthew Brown, great paintings. Those are fabulous.
You know, Buchholz had a museum quality Lutz Bacher piece, like one of the best Lutz Bachers I've ever seen. They actually have two in there right now. Greenhoff Tolly brought a shocking sculpture by Jacqueline Humphreys. Rachel Harrison.
Right. That would make more sense.
Yeah, Rachel Harrison.
That would make a lot more sense.
There was, to be honest, I spent a lot more time in the beginning of the fair in the more historic booths. That's where I always go to first, especially with clients, to kind of help them like get more context to the more contemporary stuff. And I have to say, I think I saw the best, and this is going to sound so fucking lame, the best Kenneth Nolan I've ever seen at an art fair.
That's cool. Hey, yo. Respect to DC native Kenneth Nolan.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's an OG. That's an important artist. What made it so good?
The fucking colors were just luminous. Looked like it was painted yesterday.
So it was repainted?
Yeah, it had been retouched.
Yeah, you see a conditioner more? Yeah, I didn't spend a lot of time over there. I'm so laser, you know, I do a lot of holds and going to see specific things with people that it's so hard for me to get a bird's eye view of what's even good at an art fair.
Right.
That's why I just listed off things that I was really keen to see. I thought the Listen Galleries booth looked exceptional. A mixture of, like, you know, obviously some great Carmen Herreras, Elaine Cameron Weir, a wonderful Kelly Akashi.
Her debut with Listen as well.
Yes. It was her debut. Had been announced, though.
Right.
Were there any other like real buzzy booths people were talking about?
You know, it's funny. Like, I was talking to a few people, and, you know, Petzl said that they had a fantastic first day, that people were just kind of like running to see this Charlene von Heil painting that they had put up in their booth.
It's really good.
Which was an exceptional
artwork. It's really, really good.
Really, really fucking good.
Yeah. Me and friend of the pod, Julian Ehrlich from Christie's, were in there, and he was just like losing his shit.
Yeah, that's it's one of the best Charlene von Heils I've ever seen in my life.
And I mean, and she's also having a moment, so to show a very good example by her at this particular
precisely
market moment,
where
you know, with her, Jacqueline, I'm trying to think of the third one, but there's this kind of moment for this these female abstractionists,
Amy Sillman,
the three of them that aren't babies, that are established mid-career or later, you know, mature artists, I guess you is the best phrase for it,
right?
You know, there's a lot of buzz around those three names right now, so to see that at a fair makes a lot of sense, and
100%
props to Friedrich and her for realizing this would be a great moment to kind of show that work.
Totally.
Trying to think if there's anything else that, I mean, you know, listen, guys, there was a great Cosima von Bohnen in the Petzl booth as well. I have to say that.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a lot of things, because I think at the end of the day, when I was walking through the fair, you know, it was the galleries at the top end of the spectrum, the blue chip galleries, they had been selling fairly well. It was the galleries that were in the mid-level that seemed as if they were having to like really push and really sell. In order to try to make it like successful art.
Yeah, but that's been the story for a while now, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's like the young hot things on the edge, if they have something that's relatively marketable, they're doing well. And if the established guys, they've been working for 6 months for specific clients generally,
100%.
They're going to do well. It's the, you know, so it's good to hear that someone like Friedrich had a banging time.
Hell of a time.
Because I heard from some of those other galleries of that same tier, and I don't want to call them out, being like, dude, it's fucking struggle.
But you know what? Jason, do you guys love Jason? You know Jason?
Dude, love Jason.
Love Jason.
Love Jason.
Jason could be a friend of the pod. He should be a friend of the pod.
He listens, maybe.
He's a listener of the pod. Jason Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
He was saying, and he made this wonderful comparison to their strategy this year. He said they wanted to build their booth like a soccer match.
Oh, cool.
Where they fly the whole fucking squad down in the beginning, and they fucking strike, and then you can send the majority of people back in the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than have like a full like four offense, they just went full blitzkrieg on it.
Well, I mean, it's a 2-day fair, and I think we'll get into the second day. We'll go chronologically, and we'll go through last night and what the events were like. It is a 2-day fair, and I was able to get more insight by walking around today than I certainly was able to establish for myself.
I definitely
yesterday
got a lot of insight today.
Indeed.
We'll get into
that. What did you guys do last night? I went to like a really nice, elegant dinner thrown by the Listen Gallery, hosted by them, and it was up at the I mean, it was way up at the Four Seasons. It was kind of a schlep, but a beautiful dinner. They were kind enough to allow me to bring all those same clients with me.
Very nice.
And eat there, and then we hustled down to Togo's where I bumped into you guys. What was the early part of your guys' evening like?
I had a very wonderful impromptu drink with Tom Echols and Gavin Brown.
Yeah,
that's Tom Echols was having a drink.
We're going to need to go long on that, actually. Yeah. All right, 30 minutes starting now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was like one of these fabulous cocktails that can like only happen at an event like Art Basel, where like I was just sitting down and I was being responsible. You know, I knew I had a long night ahead of me, so I was having a seltzer water, charging my phone.
Was this at the W?
This is at the Lowe's.
At the Lowe's. So we were at the W earlier for some cocktail party.
My God. Oh, no, you need to start actually earlier. I'm so sorry. We actually had a wonderful experience at the Raleigh.
We did. So I was ready to leave the fair, and James was ready to leave the fair, and I was like, let's go to the Raleigh. I have to go there for the column, like to see this guy, Michael Schroe, who owns the Raleigh. And there's going to be like, you know, fancy seafood and pasta from this place in Milan. And James is like, I'm in. So we go to the Raleigh. We approach this structure that they built to sort of give an impression of what the Raleigh will look like when
they
it
built
opens.
The simulacrum of the bar and what it would look like.
Designed by the cursed Peter Marino.
Yes. We love Peter Marino.
We love
hate
Peter
him,
Marino.
Hate him. Peter hate Marino. Him. Continue.
But here, wait. May I really dive into this like Baudrillard and like thing that he had done where they had the marble floor. It was a fake marble that they had printed like a photo reproduction of what the marble floor would look like, and you're walking on this thing. But then it had real Peter Marino shelves and like cabinets and everything. I mean, our friend there?
Davey Volner, Ian David Volner, the great architecture
he said,
writer.
All this will be in a dumpster in 6 months. Best martini I've had in my life.
Yeah.
One of the top five.
So they flew out the bartenders from this place, La Langoustine, in Milan. To like work this fake bar.
A very ecologically conscious event from top to bottom, it sounds
as
like.
As I said when I was there, if I may interrupt, if they had to build like the last ark to like take humans away as the earth blows up, I can imagine the trillionaires being like, hey, that bar I really liked, we need to rebuild it and bring fly in those Melanese guys that made that kick-ass martini I had. Like, and people are like, shouldn't we put more bunks in this for the people that need to...
No,
the
more
scientists
bunks.
That will repopulate the planet?
Nah, the bar!
So we walk in, and it's literally just the three of us. Only the three of us in this, like, you know, fake Raleigh hotel. And all of a sudden, all these servers start serving us, like, dish after dish after dish of incredible Italian food.
Yeah.
And then Michael Schroe comes up, and he's like, do you guys need anything? Do you need anything? I mean, this is, like, one of the biggest... you know, developers in Miami Beach, not like the country. And he's just like hanging out with us, chilling with us, like a really nice guy.
He said, I'm on 2 hours of sleep. And you're like, yeah, I mean, hey, man. So everyone else there.
He had flown to New York yesterday morning.
At 1 a.m.
to see
landing in New York at 4 a.m.
To see his daughter get like a ceremony at her school. Flown back to Miami before hanging out with us.
Yes.
I mean, I respect a dad with a private plane.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, just crushing it.
I mean, yeah, part of me was almost like, hey, wait, hold on. Like, did you just like call like Delta? And I'm like, oh, wait, no.
Well, I love that you got the personal attention from the host of the evening.
It was really nice.
I'm glad he knew who was important there.
Yeah, you know, it was really, really special.
Nate, not me.
Rolling to Nate is fun to events, man.
Yeah,
everyone's going to come kiss the ring, you know?
It's true.
I should back up and say the night before, and I'll just wrap it into this night, I did stop by the Fair Warning Party for the relaunch.
Oh, shout out, Loic.
Yeah. And Gabby Palmieri was there on fire showing off this amazing painting by Elizabeth Payton that will be the next lot. It's incredible work. But it was hosted
in The Age of Innocence. It was Daniel Day-Lewis and Michelle Pfeiffer?
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Why not? Yeah, I think so. I think you're correct. But it was also, I didn't realize it was at an old friend of mine, Adam Sender's house.
Oh, sick.
And it was weird. It was super weird. Not going to lie. It was a weird event, but it was great to see the picture. It was like very lush and fancy. I think we were there a little bit early. The notion was people would be there around sunset because it's on the backside of Miami Beach and the sun would be setting and all would be perfect. Adam was quite clear about spending 6 months plus a day down here. And then what so that was your dinner, and then you went right from that event at the Raleigh.
We stomped by the W for some cocktail party for some reason, which is
do you even remember what it was for?
No. And as we were leaving, aforementioned Charlie Stewart was having what he wanted to be a very, very hush-hush private drink with Noah Horowitz, his former colleague.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Nothing to insinuate here. It's just old colleagues having a drink.
Right. But they felt like catching like someone having an affair in public. They were like, "You got us. We wanted to have a quiet drink."
Yeah, they were like, "Hey, what are you like? Why are you here?
Go away.
Go away." Exactly.
Did you take a picture?
I should have taken a picture as a selfie.
That would have made them both really, really uncomfortable.
Well, that was on the podcast or whatever.
Oh, I guess that's true.
They were doing nothing improper. I mean, like, look, it's the CEO of Art Basel, the CEO of Sotheby's. They got to be friends. Come on.
I mean, it's great that Charlie's out there, I will say.
He's the man. He's so cool.
He's really a public force. And then, you know, Tolga's was great, I have to say. I mean, I lasted about 30 minutes.
But... Yeah, me too. Yeah, it was fun. I went to a dinner before that. I actually went to two dinners.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, I went to, after I ran into Gavin and Tom, who regaled me of a beautiful story of, like, galleries in the 90s and the relationships that, like, they all had with, like, between collectors that are still around to people like David Zwirner and all this stuff.
That's great.
I could have written a really solid.
Were they both in happy, jolly moods?
They were in the fantastic moods.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a really good
time.
That's
so fun.
And then, then I went to Karma.
Oh, how was Karma? I'm so bummed.
Karma
to miss
was
it.
Great.
I meant to swing by, but I just couldn't get there.
Just fucking solid vibes all around. Rob Teeters was there with Michael Capio, Frontesque Apparatus. I talked to Sanisha for a while. Clem there, I saw Brendan. It was a really, really good time.
Amazing. I'm so bummed to have missed it.
And then I went to Tolga. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, I had a great time.
I was there for like 40 minutes. I danced for a little bit in front of the DJ booth.
That's good.
They had Heineken Zeros, which I was really happy
about. Oh, that's cool. That's great.
Those are the best non-alcoholic
beers. Yeah. It was nice to have like something cold in my hand to walk around and see the people.
Oh, that's amazing.
Eric Mack was there. Hung out with him mm-hmm. for a while.
Yeah. I went to the Pace Gallery dinner at Cote, one of my favorite restaurants.
Oh. How much meat did you eat?
I ate a lot, actually. What was really cool was I walked in. I got there somewhat early, even though I was stuck in horrendous traffic, but I guess everyone was stuck in horrendous traffic.
You said it was a 90-minute car ride.
I think it was actually like 75 minutes, but it
That's
was
fucked up.
I know. It was crazy.
I would have lost my brain.
Yeah, you could have watched. Thankfully, David was in the car with me.
You could have watched the entirety of the Colin Farrell film Phone Booth.
David Zwirner was in the car with you?
No, my friend Davey Volner, the architecture writer.
Okay.
So I arrive and I get there and there's like no one there yet except for the owner of Cote, Simon.
Wow.
Who I met last year in Miami. And his sister is an art advisor who deals mostly with Korean clients. And I just chatted with them for a while.
I didn't know there was an art connection. That's very mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're big time. They have Ruchet's hanging in their location in New York.
No, yep. I knew they had art there, but I didn't know that the sister was an art advisor.
Yeah. I didn't know
she's super cool. I mean, Simon's the man. He's opening a fried chicken restaurant in New York that he was telling me all about. It sounds really sick.
Do you think we could get him on the pod to talk about that fried chicken restaurant?
Yeah, I'm sure we could. I mean, the whole thing is that it's like fried chicken. You can get caviar add-ons if you want, but like...
I had a conversation about this restaurant because my client is an investor with that. And so, I think at this point, given the whole relationship we have to Cote, we should be sponsored by that.
I think probably. I mean, I just fucking love that restaurant. And like, everything was on point. Like, obviously the meat is amazing, but they have all sorts of like... They had like a seafood tower, a lot of caviar, a lot of like yummy little nibbles. It was just fantastic. Really great. And then eventually, you know, it was hosted by Venus Williams, which was very cool. Eventually Venus arrived. I said hello. She was super nice, super down to earth. I met her at Anna Wyant's dinner last year in New York, and we chatted about that. And then I linked and built with former guest of the pod, Riley Opelka.
Oh, did he actually remember having been on the podcast?
Absolutely did. He was so psyched to see me. Very tall gentleman.
Yeah, super tall.
How tall is he?
I mean, like, he's one of the tallest people I've ever met in my life. He's, like, incredibly tall. Like,
a big lover of the arts and Miami both.
Mm-hmm.
Great tennis player. Unfortunately, his career's been a little bit injury addled as of late.
He told me a really funny story about, like, I was like, you ever been to Cote before? He's like, yeah, I love Cote. He's like, it's so funny. I was on a a seaplane with John McEnroe. And,
sick.
And he said, Mac asked me, like, oh, what's your favorite steakhouse in New York? And he was like, you know what? Actually, I think Code is one of my favorite steakhouses in New York. And this other guy on the plane was like, I don't think Code is one of the best steakhouses in New York. And he was like, oh, that's interesting. And then the guy was like, I'm actually an investor in Code also, and I don't think it's one of the best.
Whoa. Was this James's client, maybe?
No. It was Thomas Keller.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to put anyone on blast.
I think you just did, though.
He walked it back and said, like, oh, you know what? Like, I really love Code. It's just like, I don't think of it as a steakhouse, blah, blah, blah. Simon knows all about it. They're all good.
Okay.
But it was just, like, Riley told it in a really hilarious
Amazing story. Yeah. We should get him back on the pod. Did he go to the fair? Did he let you know if he had...
Up at Code right now, which is cool.
Because I think they pull from patrons of the restaurant for these different kind of shows, quote unquote, that they do in the restaurant here, at least in Miami.
Yeah. And it was just, yeah, fabulous dinner, you know, linked with a lot of the Pace crew and a lot of Pace artists were there. Hank Wills Thomas was there, of course. And then I walked over to Mandolin afterward, a few blocks away, for the Sadie Coles, Curry Manzuto.
Oh, you double Gladstone dipped on dinner. Love to see it. That is your job.
I know. It's exhausting, but we do it.
You double dipped that chip, baby.
Yeah, I know. I double dipped the chip. And it was just a fabulous group of people. I was sitting at a great table with Max Falkenstein and a great friend of the friend, Bame.
Max Falkenstein, the gallerist. Max Falkenstein, the speaker for the Kansas Jayhawks college basketball team in the 50s and 60s and 70s. That's a deep cut for people that know anything about basketball in the Midwest.
The former.
Moving on then.
The former. it was excellent. I ended up getting a ride with former Art Basel global director Mark Spiegler.
Does he still get the Basel car service, or does he have to Uber like the rest of us?
Man. He has to Uber now.
Is it like how presidents get like security?
It used to be great getting a ride with with him.
Yeah,
I think it should just be like
or Sam back in the day. Like, you know, Sam I think still has a car.
Service is still
Sam kept the car. Sam's like, I'm keeping the fucking car.
And you're just like, oh yeah, I'll catch a ride with you and like just hang out in the back of one of those BMWs or whatever.
I have been in the Basel car many a time. Even one time in Hong Kong. When I think we stuffed like 7 people into like a, you know, a 4-person car. Wow. It was insane. But no, we just Ubered.
Right.
I saw a bunch of Scope Art Fair cars.
I mean,
did you hijack one? I haven't ridden one. I want to be caught dead.
I don't want to make a joke about it, but like, are they like Hondas or something?
No, I don't know what they were, honestly. I don't know. It definitely was more of an Uber X field than an Uber Black.
Yeah, well, listen, God bless. There's many art worlds, and I'm glad that they've stuck around, I guess. Did anyone go to the Untitled Art Fair?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Go to Art Miami? I don't go to Art
Miami. Did go to NADA.
I went to NADA. NADA was great.
I haven't been yet.
I acquired a work on behalf of a client.
That's great. We love to hear that. NADA, we support NADA.
Shout out to their hubs.
The vibe over there is incredible.
It's so sick.
Absolutely incredible. And now opening the day before the main fair, I think, is super smart.
Really smart.
The schedule is good this year.
Yeah.
The schedule is good this year.
Yeah. They finally figured it out.
Yeah, we should have mentioned that when we were back. But no, I love NADA. NADA was great.
Shout out to my wife, Lucy, who has 3 works at NADA, all of which sold.
Nice.
Which is very, very cool. But you can still check them out over the next few days. If you're listening to this, go to Will Schott's booth. Yeah. Obviously, my favorite booth at NADA.
I put a necklace on reserve that's back in New York from Will that I got to go check out.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Nice. The small scythe.
That's great.
Nice.
Yeah. That's, Will has Josh Smith necklaces if you're unaware.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, the Josh who was on the pod recently talking about this necklace project, I hadn't seen them in person. I had a chance to go down to Will's
really
gallery
sick.
Yet.
I want the armature that the thing comes in. You know, this is his name.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I'm sure you could probably buy that. There's a deal to be had. What are you gonna do with that? Put in your Nut Gallery.
What do you do with anything that we buy? You know, we put it in storage or we put it on our walls.
Okay. So that was that. I mean, Tolos was great. I haven't been in years. And then I woke up this morning. As Nate knows, Barry's had reached out to him and then me because they were hosting a pop-up. There's a Barry's here in South Beach
that
I usually
Barry's
go to.
Wait, Barry's reached out to you?
They reached out to Nate, and then I
emailed everyone. But this one, I was like...
Yeah, I got forwarded.
Like, oh, Benjamin needs to see Nate's this immediately.
Not Barry's. Okay.
So I thought like there was a Barry's listener of the pod.
No.
Did Barry reach out to you?
There is now.
Wait, Joey's now. Is there a Barry?
He sold the company.
Okay.
It's I didn't know that.
But who was Barry? Is he like some like Vietnam War vet with PTSD?
No, he's a Southern California gay man. I think.
Same difference.
Asterix, I'm not really sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what I read. same thing. So they reached out because they were doing a pop-up. I usually go to I usually Uber to the South Beach one, and I happened to be at my hotel. So I was at 9 o'clock. I was out by the pool, by the palm trees, overlooking the ocean, getting my workout in, getting my sweat in. Fantastic.
Literally preparing you to go and like storm the beaches.
100%. And then
is it with you in the military right now?
No comment, brother.
Okay. All right,
go on. He's got a fantasy. And then they had all these Lululemon gear and like Theragun stuff and recovery. I did a cold plunge for like 4 or 5 minutes and got the body into recovery mode. And then had to run to the art fair wearing what I'm wearing now, which are some camo pants and a green t-shirt.
Back to the military thing. What's going on, brother?
I didn't just turn you on, guys. James.
Yeah.
What do we do today? I was just riding by at the Lowe's.
Actually. Well, we were at the fair, and we have to. Can I tell a story about who I saw at the fair and then texted you? I wasn't the first person to text you.
You weren't, but yes. Let's tell it like that.
So I'm walking, and I'm actually with a client, and we're going to go see David Kornansky. She's a very, very, very fancy lady who's based down here. I was like, you should just know Dave, you know, just so he can put a face to a name. He's going to be less busy today. We're walking there, making a beeline for him. He's talking to someone. I keep walking, and I see that Mark Glimcher has escorted one Jeff Bezos and wife from his booth across the aisle to introduce Jeff Bezos to David Kornansky, which is a beautiful, I mean, talk about like, you know, the art world's kind of great. Like, I thought that was just a beautiful thing. I also realized that there was no way in hell that I was about to continue to walk towards this man that was surrounded by security, and I don't mean Dave, and it would have been very awkward, so peeled off. I did watch them for a little bit out of the corner of my eye. They look like cartoon characters come to life. They look like caricatures of human beings.
I was going to ask how shiny Jeff Bezos' head was.
Bro, I need to get on whatever his HGH regimen is. I need it now. I need it. Everyone's saying how good I looked, but no, I need to get on his fucking level.
Never mind
Barry's. I need whatever he has, blood boys. Mm. So I texted Nate, but I guess I was not the first person to alert you.
You were not. So I was walking down Collins. I just grabbed some lunch, and I was walking back to the Lowe's where I was going to just keep on writing. I got a tip from someone that Mark Glimcher was walking around the fair with Jeff Bezos. And as soon as I got that email, I just immediately turned around. It was something in my body just jolted, and I was like, okay, back to the fair, let's go. It was instantaneous.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck, I don't want to miss him. Like, you know, I have to find the guy in this enormous fair. You know, I was texting with Ben, like, tell me what booth he's on, blah blah blah.
And I was
you lost him, so like you couldn't.
I wasn't gonna follow the man around. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm there. I'm like, okay, what do I do? And then, like, the first person I saw when I walked in the fair was Jeff Bezos. Wow. He was just there. And, you know, like, he seemed to be having a great time. I mean, like, yeah, these are not normal people, obviously. But, like, him and Lauren, his fiance, were holding hands the whole time, which I found endearing, you know. They were laughing, having fun with Mark. I don't know how Mark knows them. I don't know how he works with them, whatever. It seems like maybe this is a newish thing. I mean...
Pace. Do they or do they not look like cartoon characters?
I mean, like...
It's a yes or no question.
I don't know. It's not the thought that went through my head, but...
Okay.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure. I've never seen them.
Yeah, they don't look... They're not normal people. Like, yeah, of course. Yeah. No.
Anyway, continue.
They would be ordering the simulacrum of a bar to be made over the lives of human beings.
What was so funny is that, like, as they were going through, like, what was cool is that Mark was not just, like, keeping them at the Pace booth. He was like, let's go look at all the other booths, which I thought was great.
Right.
And so they were walking by the White Cube booth, and he was like, this is Tracy Emin, and, like... And then they walked in the Gladstone booth, and like, this is Max Falkenstein, you know, like, and like, he, like, Mark Glimcher was introducing Bezos to all sorts of people.
It was great.
Like,
it's the way that our world's supposed to work.
Walk into the Michael Verner Gallery booth, and Gordon Venikoff, and like, just got up and like, met Bezos and showed him around. It was like,
it was
fairly chill considering there were five security.
That's great. I mean, I think he's mostly been buying. I mean, from what the reportage I've read, he's mostly been buying at auctions. So maybe he'll become, you know, he's got some new real estate that he's going to populate the walls of.
This is true. I mean, like, we knew he was in town because he was spotted. Like jet skiing or whatever.
Paddleboarding,
right, yeah. And yeah, he has announced his plans to move.
So that was such disdain.
Well, I mean, jet skiing, so like web 2.0. He's a web 3.0 guy.
It was a thing on the water, whatever. It was an open question whether he was going to come to the fair. And so it was really cool that he did, right?
Yeah, that was great. It was hilarious. Yeah. It was also really nice at that hour. So this is around 11 I showed up at the fair. It was empty. You could walk around. You know, yeah, I love a second day of a fair, and a major fair like Basel, Miami is a two-day fair. You can't take it all in, at least not if you're doing business all at once. Totally. And you know, just to hang out with all the hungover dealers and actually ask about how things went, and tons of stuff got swapped out, so there's a ton of new material to see.
Right. I had actually a really fun moment today where when at the Tolga party last night, when I was with Eric Mack, we have glasses that are tinted. And this young woman came up to us. Remember this, Nate? And she was just like, I want to take a photograph with you guys taking with those cool glasses.
I remember this. Remember this?
And so I took a photo on my phone, and I thought it was a weird moment. And today I was talking to somebody, and her friend goes, I think there's a photo of me on your phone. And I was like, who are you? And that's a really scary thing. Are you the police? But no, I mean, like, that's the thing. There's just like, to say hangover at the fair is a bit of an understatement. You know, like, I think that the range of people that got sleep there would probably be what? From 1 hour to like 3 hours on average?
I don't know. But I would say even without drinking, I only got 5 hours of sleep last night.
Really?
Oh, I got kids here, man. So I get no sleep.
But yeah, it was just great to roll around, see some of the things. Several of my clients came back for the second day, and I had a new client that flew in from New York late last night, so I hadn't been to the fair. So I got to do a little bit of additional business, walk around, and it was really nice. And I love a two-day fair. I love going back the second day. I have way more fun. Yesterday, zero fun, kind of not stressful, but just like a grind.
Yeah, it's a grind.
And today was just like, let's look around. Let's have some fun. This is art. Like, we're so, you know, everyone's like a little bit, oh, you have to go to another art fair. It's fucking Miami. Miami's a pain in the ass. The city just certainly doesn't have the infrastructure. You know what? We're so fucking lucky. So great that this is our job to go roll around, see it all is. Of our buddies, look at art, like maybe make a little bit of money. But even if not, just like the fact that this is our life and our world, that Tom Eccles and Gavin Brown have been having that same fun drink together for over 20 years and still laughing at the same jokes. Like, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful world we live in.
It's called art history.
Yeah, it really is. We're living in art history here in Miami. I mean it. It's true. Seriously. It's cool. You know?
It's like a David Foster Wallace and Kevin Berger nightmare combined into one beautiful dream.
That it is. I don't know. I think we covered most of the highlights, maybe some lowlights. I'm running out of steam here, guys. Did I miss any big stories?
I think that's it. I mean, what's on the dance card for tonight?
I think I'm going to meet some friends at Joe's, then go to this Ralph Lauren W Magazine party. But I got to figure out what I need to wear, though. Have you not been to Joe's yet this year?
No.
What are you doing wrong in life? I just talked about how beautiful life was, but what are you doing wrong?
Let me tell you what I do every year. If I don't make Joe's, if I don't make it, what I do is at the beach on the day that I'm going to go home, I go to the beach and I order a Uber Eats of Joe's to the beach
and have it at the beach.
That's
acceptable.
Yeah, that's acceptable. That's a busy time. But, you know, these gallery dinners are kind of... I'm sorry, I had a very lovely one last night. In general, especially if you're with clients, they're kind of washed. These rich people don't want to do this.
I'm actually... Yeah. I'm very excited for my dinner tonight. Our friend, the artist Alex Israel, is partnering with humanitarian, world-saving chef Jose Andres for a meal that I'm quite excited for. Jose Andres is a Bethesda resident. He's a DC legend. I've never met the guy. I'm actually going to nerd out.
I believe it's sponsored by Capital One.
What's in your wallet?
That feels a little low budget for both Alex and Art Basel.
What's in your wallet? I know, but imagine saying that same phrase with a stank. You know, like, what's in your wallet?
Yeah, I don't think you get the Samuel L. Jackson money if you say it like that.
Yeah. Someone, like, take it out, like, their wallet's, like, moist. And you're like, what's in your wallet?
But isn't a Capital One, like, one step up from using your debit card?
Yeah, basically.
It just doesn't feel, like, as chic as either Alex or Art Basel, like, you know.
No, that's the thing. Like, it's like, who's your bank? Like, Capital One Bank has to be the least sexy bank, right?
My private banker at Capital One.
That's a business
guy at Capital Bank. Like, everyone's like splitting a bill and they put a Capital One card down. Like, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I'm flying down to Basel. I'm on the private client management team for Capital One. We got a big event. Yeah, I'm I'm Delta One, so you know, I might get an upgrade. I don't know.
It's like everyone's putting down their like metal American Express cards, and then just like this plastic Capital One thing Twink. Bounces off across the table out of the ground. Like, excuse me, sir. Capital One.
What's in your wallet?
What's in your wallet?
All right. Hopefully our check from them will clear.
Like, I've never even, like, you know, when you have to, like, do it in voices, and it says, like, oh, so, like, you're, like, typing the router number, and then, like, it's like, oh, that's interesting. It's a World Republic Bank. Oh, fascinating. I've never once had Capital One. It's like having a Yahoo mail account.
Wow. All right.
I'm dying here. I'm dying. That's all I got, man. We're fucking out of here. I can't wait to get the fuck out of the city. Yeah. So goodbye from one of the shittiest hotels at $600 a night can buy you in the Western
Hemisphere.
They take
Capital One, though.
They definitely take Capital One. I'm not getting any Amex points here.
Yeah.
Note bene. Out.